Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast. My name is David Feld, and I will be your flight attendant for this evening's festivities. This is episode number 25, and we're getting better at it than we were for the last 24 times, let's hope so. But we're still working on it. And we have Jaime Jackson with us tonight. He's with us again this evening. It's February. There's absolutely nothing going on in sports. Thus, the conclusion of the 2015 NFL Scouting Combine is what qualifies as sports news these days. All the invited players went through the compulsories, and a bunch have catapulted themselves into a much better draft position than they were ranked prior to the Combine. We'll get to that later, but back in the wacky world of the NFL, a quote-unquote source close to Adrian Peterson said the running back will never play another game for the Vikings. A few weeks ago, Peterson seemed open to the idea of returning to Minnesota, but things have gone south in a real hurry. According to reports, Peterson's agent, Ben Dogra, had to be restrained from Vikings VP of football operations, Rob Brzezinski, last week at the Combine after the two exchanged words. Meanwhile, Peterson will be suspended indefinitely until April 15th, or his indefinite suspension will end on April 15th at the earliest. And the middle of April would be the earliest that he could be reinstated. Jaime, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here, Dave.
Nice to hear from you again.
Nice.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Don't you love the quote unquote source close to the, you know, whatever it is? I hear that. But then, you know, I mean, evidently there were witnesses over this verbal exchange. But So these are probably a little bit more reliable. I personally don't think it really matters where he plays. And if those are his overtones, if his agent is contentious, if he's not, you know, repentant about his unrepentant behavior or whatever he's got going on there, you know, after the thing that got him suspended in the first place, you know, and now he's feeling dissed, then the Vikings should probably look to trade him and, you know, say good riddance. There's, you know, it's not like he's at the beginning of his football life here. He's clearly on the back nine approaching the clubhouse here, and I just don't know if they want the headache. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a you brought up a good point there, man. The headache might not be worth it, especially with a guy like Jerick McKinnon. I think he did really well. He did good against some good defenses, and you know, ultimately, I mean, right, like Peterson said, it's a business, right? In the end. At the same time, I'm sure he doesn't want to be part of such a young team. He's reaching that point where teams aren't going to take him seriously. No matter how good he is, he's going to be 31 in a season or two, or in two seasons. And if he's still in the open market at that point, he doesn't got much of a chance. Right now, everybody still knows him as Adrian Peterson. He's that tough guy, the guy that came back from the ACL tear faster than anybody has ever done it before. And then he went out there and he wreaked havoc again. He's that guy where they can trust him right now at age 29 to come in, handle big workload, and get the job done. And I think that it might not matter what team he goes to, you know?
I think from a football perspective, I'm not, you know, the Vikings are young and they're looking like they're getting better fast. Seems like they found their quarterback, a wide receiver emerged out of nowhere, this Charles Johnson cat. And, you know, Norv Turner knows how to run an offense. Kyle Rudolph's going to be healthy. I would imagine that Greg Jennings has a couple of, maybe half a season or more left in the tank that are at a pretty high level. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson's a question mark, but he's still mightily talented. The line is very good. Jerick McKinnon looks like he can do some things. Go ahead.
And with Norv Turner, the point about Patterson – your point about Patterson, you know, he's still a amazingly talented, he's a gifted athlete, and he's got Norv Turner there. And Norv Turner is a great coach, loves the passing game, you know, I think that Josh Gordon is a great receiver, but I think that what he did with North Turner had a lot to do with North Turner. And like I was saying about Jerick McKinnon, they can really, really rebuild on him. He had 5 yards per carry against a tough Bills defense. Oh, excuse me, at one point in the season. And I really thought, you know, it's not such a bad thing if Peterson doesn't come back this season because the Vikings are doing well. I didn't think they were giving the ball to McKinnon enough. I thought they gave it to Asiata a lot. But, you know, at the same time, he's a rookie. I guess they're afraid of him losing the ball on the goal line, stuff like that, which is what I think played into Asiata's touchdown potential the entire year. I'm not a huge fan of him because of his yards per carry, but, you know, he got a lot of guys' touchdowns, and especially in those daily leagues, you know, it was worth it. But beyond that, I think that they've got a great team to build on. Bridgewater played above potential. I thought he might. McKinnon looked good. You know, Charles Johnson, like you said, came out of nowhere. And I believe there was another guy that came out later in the season besides Jarius Wright, you know?
Oh, yeah. Was it Adam Thielen or something? Adam Thielen or something?
Yeah, exactly. That's him. And he's got great size. That guy's, you know, he's 6'2", 6'3", I believe. And you know, you consider all the young talent that they have, and Castle's not a bad guy to be behind Bridgewater. They can really save themselves some money and get maybe a draft pick or two or fill a need by going ahead and getting rid of Peterson while they still have him under contract, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's I read somewhere, I don't remember recently, but RotoWorld's got a report that he had back surgery, Jerick McKinnon did.
Oh,
here,
he
I'll
did?
Just read it. It says, yeah, well, it looks like, you know, I'm not 100% sure. The lower back injury that ended Jerick McKinnon's rookie year in early December required surgery. He is a, quote-unquote, couple of weeks away from completing his rehab. McKinnon says he'll be ready to participate fully when the Vikings offseason workout program begins on April 20th. So it looks like, you know, right. Yeah, but it's something to keep an eye on, you know, for sure. I don't know. You know, I don't think that's going to factor into keeping Adrian Peterson. I think there's enough good backs around. And it's, you know, I mean, not like that, of course. I mean, he's one of the greatest. It's like,
exactly.
It's like, do you want to deal with the headache? I mean, it's like, you have this behavior eruption, you know, he has, you know, apparently he's got, you know, I think he led the league in children out of wedlock or something last year, and I don't know if that's the kind of thing you necessarily want. I mean, the antenna is up on these behavioral issues, and you know, right. From a football perspective, you know, from a Vikings perspective, I don't know if they really want to go forward with that. So, you know, he's worth a ton to a team that could use a running back. I mean, you know, I mean, if the Patriots could fit him under the cap, forget it. You know, I mean, it'd be like, good night. You don't even have to put a pass running back in at that point because, you know, Adrian can do it all. He's monstrous. So it's, you know, there is some football left there. There's no question. But I think the his attitude and his behavior are probably something that they're looking to move on from. And maybe this is what he's being advised to do with his agent is, you know, be a malcontent right now. They'll have no choice but to get rid of you. And, you know, you could look for, you know, the one more big contract someplace else if that's the case. I mean, I understand the strategy, but, you know, it seems like he's making it pretty easy for the Vikings to make a decision here. So,
yeah, you know, but in anyway, the end, it's kind of a smart strategy. He's kind of leaving the Vikings in a good position also, because if he makes enough noise and does all this junk, maybe the fans, you know, don't mind when they get rid of him. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's probably where that's at. And I would imagine at 31 years old, you know, psychologically or even, you know, maybe even up front in a forward, you know, in a forward postured kind of way, I think at 31 years old with a running back as great as he is, I think, you know, people are still thinking that it's getting close to really getting serious about, you know, replacing him or moving on. And, you know, thus the draft pick with Jerick McKinnon and the, you know, and the feeding the Matt Asiata the rock so much last year. But anyway, RotoWorld reports, you know, speaking of RotoWorld reports, the Raiders are rumored to be taking a run at Randall Cobb. Just give me your, you know, your riff on Randall Cobb there and what do you think team needs would be like, and is he staying in Green Bay or is he moving on, or what do you What are you hoping for from a fantasy perspective, and what do you think is going to happen from a football perspective?
You know, I think that we've seen the ceiling for him in Green Bay, so it would be interesting to see him in a new home. The thing about that is of course, the young quarterback, and coming from a guy that I'm going to go ahead and invent this now, I held on to Andre Holmes thinking, man, the Raiders are going to be down a lot. Let's see what happens there. Even though in the preseason I thought Odell Beckham's going to be great, and I missed out on Odell Beckham and a championship because I just said, man, they're going to pass a lot in Oakland. It didn't work out for me. It's the offensive line, I'm pretty sure, just not, you know, good enough to give him time. That's what makes Randall Cobb a really interesting pickup for them, because he's a short route runner. I think we've all learned that. He's a really good short route runner. And we saw that against good secondaries, Randall Cobb still got his numbers, you know. Jordy Nelson, I mean, of course, always did something, but Randall Cobb got his numbers no matter what the secondary was doing, because he was maybe lined up against the second, you know, corner, but at the same time, you know, he's just a very, very good underneath route runner, and we saw it with the way he was making cuts when he was a kick returner. We knew that it was coming, and a lot of people predicted him to have great, you know, a great season last year. It wasn't just me. I think that if he goes to Oakland, that's going to fit. I think he can fit almost anywhere, but considering the fact that Derek Carr threw a lot to Michael Rivera last season, I think that just speaks volumes. So they said, you know what, let's get somebody that can make plays underneath, because great tight ends don't grow on trees, you know?
Yeah, you know, Michael Rivera's a good look. Well, you know, moving on from the Raiders for a second, I mean, it's, you know, just hearing a report, oh, the Raiders are rumored to be taking a run at Randall Cobb. I mean, get in, you know, when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, get in line. There's about,
yeah,
you know, I can
exactly
name like at least half a dozen teams off the top of my head who think that $9 million a year for Randall Cobb is a reasonable price. You know, I mean, he's not asking Larry Fitzgerald money. He's not asking that kind of, you know, Calvin Johnson money. He's not looking for that. I mean, it'd be nice for him. He's a very talented player, but I think I don't think he's Aaron Rodgers dependent. I think that from, you know, a fantasy perspective, I'm going to shift gears here for a second. And from a fantasy perspective, yeah, it'd be nice to go to a team that, you know, the offensive line can keep the quarterback up long enough to find Randall Cobb. And, you know, that's going to be a key ingredient. And I'm thinking that he's got, you know, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers necessarily, you know, it's nice to have Aaron Rodgers throwing you the football, but I don't think that Randall Cobb is necessarily Aaron Rodgers dependent. I think that, you know, he gets to a team, maybe not necessarily the Bills, you know, because they don't know who the quarterback is yet. But I think that any of the other teams, I think if he's getting, like, you know, Tom Brady or Russell Wilson or Cam Newton, you know, I mean, those are teams that can afford him. Those are teams that would absolutely die to have a guy like that. I know that you could probably throw the Jets in there too. And, you know, Geno's got to improve a little bit more, but I'm looking at him like he's almost, I'd rather have him than for $9 million than Percy Harvin for 11.5 or whatever he's going to cost against the Cavs.
That's a great point.
You know, I could see nothing but an enormous, enormous upgrade in Seattle if Doug Baldwin doesn't have to play one, if they can move him to two and put Randall Cobb in at one. Yeah, he's a short, you know, shorter guy, but he is really hard to cover. And when he gets the ball, it's like, I don't know what his, you know, I'd like to have a better idea of what his stats are on yards after the catch, but I'll bet you he's up there with the best of them in the league as far as that goes. So, you know, I think him and his agent did a good job in, you know, pricing him correctly. He didn't come out with the, you know, with that overblown, you know, we're going to ask for the world and settle for, you know, 90% of it or whatever. I think that the $9 million is probably the right price for him. I think the years will matter. You know, the length of the term on the contract will probably matter more than the money, because I think they're looking at a guy who if a general manager or if, you know, the personnel people think that he's not dependent on a great quarterback, that he's going to be good pretty much no matter where he goes, he's going to be an excellent player. I think that you got yourself, you know, somebody who's priced right, and if you can fit him under the cap, there's going to be a whole host of teams looking to add that guy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He, like I said, he fits a lot of systems. The only thing I'd be concerned about is if he went to a team where he was going to be the same as another receiver that's on there. Like, we'll say the Browns don't have Josh Gordon. You think Randall Cobb can, I don't know if Randall Cobb can play that same way. It's going to be two Randall Cobbs out there when you think of Andrew Hawkins. You know, then they have, I mean, Miles Austin, other than that, unless they're going to draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, but I mean, Randall Cobb, you know, last couple of sentences on this topic, but Randall Cobb is light years better than Andrew Hawkins on any, I mean,
No, I'm just talking about it in a sense of size, you know what I mean, because they're not going to be able to play those.
You know, Randall Cobb may be, you know, not the tallest receiver in the league, but at 5'9 or 5'10 or whatever, he is built like a running back. That guy is... He's hard to tackle. You know, it's not like you get a hand on him and he goes down. He is really hard. He is really hard to tackle.
No, definitely. I'm speaking of the fact that I don't know if I've ever seen him fight for a ball. You know, does he have that
ability?
Well,
He's not going to outjump many. You know, he's probably not going to. He's probably not a leaping threat for a jump ball. But,
right.
You know, as far as like strong hands and body position, I think I think the world of him. I think he's easily in the top 10 receivers fantasy wise, and I would imagine that he's probably somewhere up there in the in that ranking on a real football perspective. If you sat some guys down, you know, some personnel people down and asked them to rank the receivers 1 through 10, I'm sure some of them will have Randall Cobb in that list. Maybe.
Love Randall Cobb.
Yeah, me too.
I love Randall Cobb, and I think, and that's why I think the best. Before we finish up this far, I was just gonna say, I think one of the best places, or one of the places I'd like to see him go, is to Carolina. I like how they have Benjamin as the bigger receiver. They have a great tight end, and Olsen. So if they could fit Randall Cobb in there, I think that would be really good for Cam Newton as well as for Randall Cobb. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on.
I absolutely agree with that. In the intro, I was talking about what's going on with the combine, which just ended. And it looks like, you know, the big talk was about the quarterbacks, Winston and Mariota. And I thought that, you know, while there were other players who, you know, who had some eye-popping performances, you know, most of the focus and most of the talk was about the top two quarterbacks. And I thought both looked pretty good. You know, as far as, like, who would I take, I think, you know, if you asked me before the combine, before I heard him talk, I would say that Marcus Mariota is probably my guy. Because, you know, Jameis Winston doesn't seem like a guy who, you know, has it, quote unquote, all together, you know, between the ears kind of thing on a personal issue basis, especially with what we've been, you know, what's been reported. But I'll tell you, you know, when I heard Marcus Mariota go, I've never had the call plays, and I really hardly ever, if ever, take any snaps from under center. It's all about the shotgun. I was like, well, that's a learning curve issue that's going to come into play when teams are considering, you know, their offenses. And if you looked at Jameis Winston, he was, you know, he's done it all. You know, I mean, he ran basically a pro-style offense at Florida State. And when Steve Mariucci, I don't know if you caught any of that, but there was a classroom scene where, you know, with the whiteboard, and Steve Mariucci was in there peppering Jameis Winston with questions. So he was under the microscope in the classroom there. And if you haven't seen it and you're concerned about his football IQ, I would say everybody take a look at that video on the NFL Network or YouTube or wherever you can find it. And I'll tell you, I was pretty impressed. He was, you know, Mariucci was firing questions at him, and Jameis Winston was basically, you know, showing the play that Mariucci was talking about. And he drew the whole thing on the board in like 5 seconds. Showed the routes, showed the options, said where, you know, we go for a touchdown, on what part of the field, what the, you know, understood the situations when that play is run and what's necessary. And I was pretty impressed with that. You know, with, I know it's a small sample, and I'm not saying that he's a football genius by any stretch of the imagination, but that went a long way to me going, you know, what my normal take was, you know, say a week ago, which was, you know, he's probably not the swiftest deer in the herd, and I'm gonna, you know, if the two quarterbacks seem equal to me, I'm gonna take Mariota. I'm not so sure now, and it looks like that, you know, Jameis Winston has gained the edge. Have you seen that thing?
Yeah, I was trying to get the video on there right now. Actually, I hadn't seen it, but it confirms a lot of things that I had in mind about Jameis Winston. As soon as he came onto the scene last season, He it was just, wow, a guy a freshman guy in a pro-style offense, even at the college level, playing as well as he was playing, and it blew me away. I wasn't a huge fan of Mr. Johnny Football, mostly because of the type of quarterback he is. And I try not to let that sway me when it comes to Marcus Mariota because, you know, this guy has this and this guy has that. He has all the intangibles. And sometimes I don't know if that even it translates to the field a lot. What does most of the time, though, is smarts. And it's pretty impressive that what Jameis Winston was doing before this video came out, to me at least. And there was, of course, like you mentioned, the issues off the field. But it was nice to hear him say, you know, I was a child and now I'm a man. You know, it's time to be a man. And if he's
when they were asking him the questions, it was like, you know, somebody asked him, is there any guarantee you won't be a jackass anymore, basically, is what they asked him. And he goes, no, there are no guarantees. He goes, but I'm trying to improve every day. I'm trying to improve that part of my life every day. I be completely upfront and be totally candid. I know it was rehearsed and, you know, I'm sure it was coached, you know, because that's a big deal. Those 5-10 minutes under the 50 cameras that are aimed at you there has got to be pretty harrowing. And I'm certain he was coached up a little bit there, but he didn't seem like he was struggling to get that out. Like it was like, you know, he actually was like reflective and thought about it. And, you know, and he was,
and does it remind you
throughout the combine?
Sorry about that.
Know,
no, go ahead.
His attitude was great. So.
No, exactly.
Anyway,
and that's one of the things that Cam Newton was in the same position as, wasn't he? It was a question of his off the field issues and had he grown up and all this junk, and we haven't heard much of Cam Newton off the field since he's been in the NFL.
That is true. Now, other notes from the combine, you know, going in, I thought that, you know, Amari Cooper was the dead ringer, number one receiver, looking good, and then this guy Kevin White comes around and he looks like he is a top two or three best player in this entire draft. He has physical beast measurables. Came from the combine. His interview was good. He has excellent snatch and grab catching skills. He's not a body catcher. I love his attitude, and he reminds me, you know, personality wise, he's got, you know, in the again, it's a very short sample that I saw, and I did, you know, check out some other interviews with him, but it looks like he's got that kind of attitude like Larry Fitzgerald. Like he takes football very, very seriously, and he works on that craft. And some people at the combine, they were comparing him to Julio Jones, and you know, those guys were right there on the scene. So I have to defer to them a little bit, you know, to Mayock and those guys who were talking to him. And then, you know, but when you're talking about Larry Fitzgerald and Julio Jones, those are two pretty good role models to be compared to. And I'm thinking that, you know, that maybe Kevin White has vaulted himself to the top spot for receivers here. Maybe even, you know, gets picked in that top, you know, three to five players ahead of Amari Cooper, who may have been overtaken here, or maybe Amari Cooper's dropped back into the second tier with guys like Devontae Parker, Jalen Strong, and Nelson Agholor, who showed very, very well. And did you get a chance to see any of the combine, any of the receivers?
I caught a little bit, and the guy I was hoping to see stand out was Sammy Coates, and he just looks like he's not gonna be the beast if he is physically. It was a big disappointment for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, not right away. It's, you know, come on, man, that's a tough deal right there. And if you have a bad day, you have a bad day. And it's possible that he just didn't have his A game at the combine. Okay, it's okay. You know,
right.
I mean, even Tom Brady had a bad championship game a couple years ago against the Denver Broncos. It happens, you know. So I'm not going to write him off yet, but certainly, you know, if you're going on that one sample of the combine, it looked like, you know, it looked like Kevin White has made the case to be the top guy. But anyway, we're running out of time here. And what do you got coming up article-wise, Jaime? Have you put together your rankings? Have you put together anything for the fantasyteamadvice.com website yet?
Yeah, I was hoping to have my article out by Thursday. I caught up on a few things, and it looks like I'm trying to get that out by this Thursday. And that was like we had spoke about last time, the pre-draft outlook. I just wanted to get all the teams down, a good look at what might happen, and things that they're making a little bit more difficult, of course, things that are going on, the Peterson thing, the D'Angelo Williams thing, where are these guys going to end up, where's Ingram going to end up? I love Ingram, by the way. this coming season if he ends up on YouTube. And if he stays put as well because of the fact that that if they're keeping him, it's going to be for a reason. And I think that they need to feature him a little bit more because he showed that he deserves it. He's
maybe
a guy that...
Perhaps
that,
he does. They're in cap trouble, though, there in New Orleans. And, there's probably going to be a lot of turnover with that team personnel-wise. I don't know. Guys who are making a lot of money who I don't know are coming back. You know, I'm not sure what, Marcus Colston's status is or if Jonathan Vilma, what the status is there. But those guys make a lot of money, and I'm not sure that they're coming back. So, I would anticipate that if they're going to make room for Mark Ingram, if they're going to clear some cap space, I'm not sure it's going to be for Mark Ingram. I mean, they really like Kerry Robinson. Pierre Thomas still has something left in the tank, and there's, a bunch of pretty decent running backs coming out this year. Plus, they still have Travaris Cadet. So I think that, that's got
to... Well, yeah, as a Cowboy fan, I hope that they can't keep him because I think that he'd be a cheaper alternative to Ingram or Peterson, and I think that it would work out with that offensive line. So,
I think you and me would work out with that offensive line.
Right? That's a good one.
Oh, my God. That got good in a hurry over there. But anyway, I usually wait. My take is on Dynasty and Keeper leagues, and I like to have I usually wait till after the combine happens, and I just before the draft I'll do like a pre-draft ranking. So I'm working on that this week. So if anybody cares to take a look, probably be up by Thursday or Friday at the latest. And I'm looking to put together the rookie rankings. I'm going to ignore the free agents for the moment. I'm just going to focus solely on the rookies, and again with a dynasty and big keeper perspective. So then right after the draft, that'll sit a couple of months, and then right after the draft, I'll do another one on and then talk about how situations matter. But that's one more thing. We don't play IDP, and we really don't talk about it much. And,
right.
Again, if you're in one of those dynasty IDP things, did you see Vic Beasley's workout?
No, I'm catching up on that right now. I was on NFL Network all day today.
He was.
Amazing.
Going into the combine, the two top linebackers, as were, ranked on a whole bunch of different sites, were Dante Fowler and Randy Gregory. And if you, Vic Beasley, the guy weighs 245 pounds. He ran a 4.53. 40-yard dash. He did the bench press 35 times with a 41-inch vertical, a 10-10 broad jump, a 4.15 shuttle, and he turned a 6.95 in the cone drill. Those are running back wide receiver numbers he did there. Plus, he has lineman strength. He's going to be one of the top players taken in this draft, and I wish my team didn't have so many other needs of the sixth pick, but that's a guy I loved it. Anyway, that's pretty much all we've got for this evening. And have a great evening, Jaime. It's nice talking to you again, and be well, everybody.
Yes, you did. Have a good night, man.
All right, man.